That's going to come from Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Hello, everyone. How are we going? We're good. We're good. All right. I've been told if I wander too far forward that I'm going to get followed back. So I'm going to talk to you guys from way back here, which makes me feel a bit lonely. So far away. I reckon it's so awesome how many guys from Crossfire Youth are here. Can I get a cheer if you're from Crossfire Youth? That's awesome. Welcome, welcome. I'm going to pray to kick off, so if you'd join me, that would be awesome. Lord, we just want to come before you now and ask that you would transform us with your word. Lord, please give us humble, open hearts, ready to be changed by you. And we give ourselves to you now, Lord, and ask that you would do your will, that we would be encouraged and rebuked and strengthened and united under you, Lord, all for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I wonder if you guys have ever had a moment in your life, or you might have had several, that was so significant, so big, that it changed everything, that after this moment happened, nothing was the same again. I've had a few that I can remember, a few examples. And one was in 2008. I was down in the national park down south where Impact is held. I was at my church's old camp, my old church's camp, which was called Camp One. And I had a group of year seven boys, and we went for an early morning swim as we did before breakfast in the river. And then we came up and we used to sit and just chat about what we heard in the talk the night before. And as we were chatting, these two girls from the other site started to run past. And I saw one of them and my jaw just dropped. And there was a moment where I'm like, I'm going to go over there and I am going to flirt as hard as I can. Right? And in that moment, my life changed because one of those girls was Kath, who I'm now married to. Yeah. And that just changed my life completely. When I went over there, interrupted their run to flirt with them, my life changed. It was never the same again. You know, I had a girlfriend, then I had a fiance, now I have a wife. Who I get to live with and share and all those fun things with. My life changed in that small moment where I did what every young guy does and tried their hardest to flirt. Another one I can remember, which was a bit more recent, was at the end of November last year. It was actually the last day of November. And I got a call from a bloke named John. And this guy said, "Hey, Pat, it was good chatting to you today. we'd love to offer you the position as youth minister at St. Paul's Castle Hill. And at that moment, I just wanted to scream, yes! I thought, I'll check with my wife, see if, you know, all that sort of stuff, played it cool, hard to get. But that changed my life. That changed my life so dramatically. Think about it. I moved out of the Shire. That is big change. Thank you. It's been tough. We have these moments in our life that when they happen, when they occur, nothing is the same again. Nothing is like it was beforehand. Absolutely everything is changed. Our hearts are changed, our minds are changed, our actions are changed, our lifestyle's changed, what we do day in, day out is changed. And as we come to Romans 12, the passage we're looking at tonight, Paul is showing us what the change looks like when we encounter God. Paul is telling us what it should look like when we come in contact with the one true living God. And it starts in verse 1. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Now that is the moment. That is that impacting, life-changing moment. God's mercy. See, for all of Romans up to this point, Paul has taught us so much about God. Paul has taught us about God's love and how he just loves us so much. Above and beyond what we can possibly imagine, he loves us so much that he is willing to come and die in our place. Paul has taught us about God's character, about his perfect character, about his purity and about just how amazing God is. Paul has taught us about God's power and how he is the creator and sustainer of all things. Through all of Romans, we've been learning about this amazing, loving, powerful, great God. We've also been learning about what that great, loving, powerful God has done for us. Becoming a man, dying in our place, rising again, ascending to the right hand of the Father in heaven, and interceding for us like we sung about before. We've heard about this amazing, loving, serving God who has done so, so, so much for us, who's had so much mercy. And that is why Paul says, I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, I urge you in view of God's mercy. And then he talks about the change. Then he talks about the transformation, because we need to find ourselves at that point where we're looking at God in his great power, in his wonder, in his love, and view his mercy and let that be what changes us. Let that be what transforms us. And this is what the change looks like. To offer our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. To offer our whole bodies as a living sacrifice. Now that is a big transformation, to go from being your everyday person to being a living sacrifice. To say to God, everything I have, it belongs to you. My time, my money, my energy, God, it belongs to you. My heart, my thoughts, my actions, God, they all belong to you. God, I am a living sacrifice. Last week, Eric spoke about how great God is and how he's in control in every single step of our salvation. And he said the result of that, how we should respond to that, is to worship. And this passage picks it up from there. This is our true and proper worship, to offer ourselves completely as a living sacrifice to God. Now that is a big transformation. That is a big transformation. And it continues in verse 2. It says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. See, Paul has introduced us to God through Romans 1 to 11. And then in chapter 12, he's saying, if you've met this God, if you've encountered this God, if you've truly known or understood anything about this God, then you are going to be transformed. Then your life is going to change. Then you are not going to be the same now as you were before you met this God. That things are going to be different. and if meeting one of God's creations in Kath could completely change my life, if being offered a job that God created could completely change my life, then how much more can meeting the one true God completely transform everything about me? How much more should He completely transform everything about me? Paul is calling us here, saying, if you have encountered this God, then you need to be transformed to be a true living sacrifice. But what does that sacrifice look like? And what does that transformation look like? And it's up on the screen. We're going to be transformed in service. And we're going to be transformed in love. Starting with the first one, transformed in service. But before Paul can even tell us what it looks like to serve, Paul has to give us the context in which we serve. And I love this. If you follow from verse 3 in your Bibles, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather you think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. See, as we encounter God, as we're transformed by God, we are transformed into the body of Christ. We are transformed into members of this body. This body that Josh was talking about that involves the oldest people at 8 a.m. and the youngest people at creche on a Sunday morning. We are transformed to be a part of this body where each member belongs to the others. That is the context in which we serve in, and that's something that you need to hear. You need to hear that you belong here. You need to know that there is a reason that you are here, that God wants you here on every Sunday at 5 o'clock, that God has a reason and a purpose for being here, that God has given you a unique personality, a unique set of gifts, and a unique way to be a blessing to this community, to this church. As we serve as a body. So you need to know that you belong here. Every week when small groups or D teams meet, every week when church is on, youth is on, or whatever else is on, know that you are welcome and you're a part and that you belong in that body. That you belong here, that you are this church. See, the kids that cry during creche are just as much this church as John Gray is. You are just as much this church as I am. The youngest, year 6 and 7 kids who are just forming their first D team and meeting together for the first time to talk about God are just as much this church as the faithful 8 a.m.ers who have been meeting together and sharing in fellowship for 60 years. We are all a part of this church. We all belong here. Serving each other. We all belong to each other. So you need to hear in that, that you have a purpose, you have a reason, and that you belong here. So when other things come up, when there's other options, we can remember that there's actually a reason that we're here. There's a purpose for us coming to church. And it's so that we can bless the community. Paul moves on from there, after giving us the context in which we serve, the context of this body, to tell us what that service looks like. And it looks like a whole bunch of different things. From verse 6, we all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. In accordance with your faith, if it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then lead diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do so cheerfully. There's a whole big list there. And the beauty of that passage is you don't have to understand every single one. You just have to understand that it's saying, figure out what your gift is and use it. Because when we encounter God, when we meet God, when we understand who God is, we are transformed to be people who serve. So we need to figure out the gifts that God has given us so we can serve. There might be some people sitting here going, well, I don't know what my gift is. How am I sure what my gift is? How do I know how to serve? How do I know where I belong, what I should be doing when I go out to serve? Well, I just want to give some practical thoughts. First one being just pray. come before God and say, God, I want you to tell me what my gifts are. I want you to show me what my gifts are. Reveal to me what you want me to do. And after praying, go to someone that you know who knows you and say, hey, what do you think my gifts are? Where do you think I should be serving? Other than that, we have a thing on our website which will help you understand what your gifts are. It's kind of a self-evaluation kind of mechanism, and it's on our website, which might come up on the screen if we're lucky. Basically, it's a way of just sorting out what you think your gifts are. Is that there? It is. Yeah, spch.org.au. If you go on there, there's a little link to help you figure out what your gifts are. And it will bring it down, narrow it down to a few, and kind of put them all in order. It's not perfect, but it gives you a good indication of ways in which you can serve. So I want you to encourage you to practically think about it, to practically pray about it, to ask people. And then think, well, what do I love doing? What do I have a heart for? What do I care about? Because there are needs in every aspect of this church. If you are criminally insane and you like doing admin, there is a massive need for admin work. If you like to work with kids, then I'm sure Matt needs more people on his teams. If you want to work with youth, then I definitely need more people in the teams. We need more young adult Bible study leaders. We need people in the Blue Army, in hands and feet, serving all over our church. There are massive needs. And that is why God transforms us to be people who serve. We need to look first to God to see that He has served us. We need to look at who God is so that we are transformed to be people who serve in the context of this body, of this church, who serve out of love for God. But not only do we need to be transformed into service, but we need to be transformed in love. When we encounter God and we look at God's story, we read what happens, what Paul wrote about from chapters 1 to 11, we learn about a loving God, a God who loved us so much that He would die in our place, a God who loved us so much that He would do anything to unite us to Him. When we encounter that sort of love, surely we will be transformed to be people of love. And the passage goes through what that love looks like from verse 10. It says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This isn't all in order. I'm jumping around. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position, and do not be conceited. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, when we encounter God's mercy, when we encounter God's love, when we truly stand before and understand anything about our real, true, powerful, loving God, then we are transformed to be people of love. And as you look through all those different ways that we can love, they're all very simple. And they all kind of boil down to one thing, putting others above ourselves. See, if you want someone who doesn't yet know God to recognize who God is, to recognize what God is like, to recognize an attribute of God, then show them this kind of love, because God is love. And when we love like this, if we genuinely say to someone, or not just say or show to someone, that we're going to think of them above ourselves, that we are actually going to physically live out these verses and consider them more important than ourselves, then they will notice the difference. They will notice the transformation, because our loving God is transforming us to be like Him, to love to this ridiculous level, to the point where we say, God, I'm a living sacrifice and I will love these people above myself. I will put their needs before mine. I'll show love in the body of Christ by trying to have peace with everyone. I'm not going to put me winning the argument above the peace in this church.
Lord, I will love people more than I love myself. I will put their needs above my own. When we start to act like that, our friends who don't yet know God will see a glimpse of him. And when we act like that as a community here at church, then the community will see a shining light of God when they look in here if we are labeled by love. If we truly understand the depths of God's love, then surely we will be transformed to become people of love. If we truly know God's love, then surely we will be transformed to love others. To say to God, God, I want to be a living sacrifice. God, I want you to transform me in service and in love is a pretty big claim. It's a pretty big thing to say. It's a pretty big step, and it would take a pretty massive transformation. Almost an unbelievable one. But I want you guys to imagine with me for a second that when I came up to start all of this, that I came running through that side door, and I ran up and I was out of breath. And I started my sermon by saying, sorry I'm late, a bit frazzled, guys. I had an incident on the way to church, and I only live 2 Ks away, but as I started driving, my car started rattling and pulled off to the side of the road to figure out what it was, popped open the bonnet, had a look, and I saw that there was a loose bolt. So I took the bolt off, and as I grabbed it, it flew out of my hands. And so I turned and saw the bolt rolling across the road, and I went after it. I'm chasing after this bolt, went down to pick it up, and as I stood up, everything paused. And there was a truck going at 80 k's an hour, 1 meter in front of me. And then bang, I was hit by the truck, thrown back onto my car. And I got up, kind of dusted myself off, screwed the bit back on, shut the bonnet, jumped in and drove here. And so I'm sorry I'm a bit late and a bit flustered, but I was just hit by a truck. You wouldn't believe me. You wouldn't believe me for a second, because there is no way you can come in contact with something that big and that powerful and be the same as you were before it hit you. There is no way anything with that much power won't leave you different. How much is it the same with our God, who has so much more power, who is the most powerful being in the entire universe, who is the creator, who created every truck? How much more should we be changed when we encounter God? How much more should our lives be transformed? I find it more unbelievable for someone to say to me, hey, Pat, I encountered God, the living creator of all things, and my life's exactly the same. It's more unbelievable, because if we truly encounter God, then surely our lives will be transformed. The God that we read about in Romans 1 to 11 is a God who served us, a God of mercy, a God who did all he can to show us love, to show us care, a God who died in our place so that we could be in a relationship with him. If we encounter that God, surely we will be transformed into service. And I've seen so much loving service in this church. If you ever want to be encouraged, just come along to youth on a Friday night or to kids' church on a Sunday morning and see the countless amount of young adults just serving, just loving the youth, just caring for them and loving the children and caring for them as well. And it's amazing. All through this church, every day there are people serving in all different ways. And I want to encourage you guys to stay strong with that, because you are changing people's lives. You are making a difference to such a great amount of people. But I want to encourage everyone that if we encounter a God who is as powerful as the Bible says he is, if we really encounter that God, then our service won't stop in these walls, that our service will go out into our family, into our friends, and then if we have gifts, we'll share it with them. If we have the gift of encouragement, we'll encourage everyone. No matter what gift we have, it doesn't stay within these walls. But as the church, we all individually step out and bring it to people. The God of Romans 1 to 11, the God that Paul talks about, is a God of love who laid down his life for us. Surely if we encounter that God, we will be transformed into people who loved. Our God is powerful. Our God has served us. Our God has loved us. And if we truly encounter him, we will be transformed into living sacrifices. we'll be transformed in service and in love. So I want to ask you guys a real simple question. Have you truly come before God and asked Him to transform your life? To transform you to be a person who serves, to be a person who loves. Because if we truly meet this powerful God, then we will be transformed. I'm going to pray. Lord, thank you so much that you love us, that you, even though you are powerful, that you are above all things, that you still serve us. Lord, we pray that you'll help us be transformed into people who are people of service, who are people of love, Lord, who are living sacrifices. And we pray this in Jesus' great name. Amen.